Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
It's okay. I'm struggling.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you, Shelby.
You too.
Yeah. I'm Phil, and that's Kenny over there. Wherever he shows up on your screen.
Hi, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for jumping on at the last minute.
Yeah, that's so last minute. Thank you.
Sure. I feel super underprepared, so. Hopefully it's
oh, no, you're just like
you're,
us.
You're just like us. It's all good.
Just so you know, the whole premise of us is we're not prepared.
Yeah.
Per se.
We just think of it honestly, we're gonna have a chat and hang out. We'll try and get you in and out in about 45 minutes ish.
Okay.
And we're really, you know, what we love is like both of us have retail throughout our careers, and we're super excited to talk to folks that are doing cool things in retail, which I think you are. I actually have some.
Actually,
of your,
went and looked because so, I had 10 so minutes, and we never look at anybody.
Give me
before.
The gears because
I looked.
I didn't look. But I know chickpea because I have it in my house. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we eat it in the house. So you're part of the reason that I'm on a 10-pound weight loss over the last.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you didn't say gain.
Yeah. No. Well. No. Yeah. You're definitely helping me lose all of those kind of original load them on pasta pounds. So,
oh, that's awesome.
And I'll be the other side because I'm the Italian of the group and I can't do it right now. Like, I need semolina. Like, I need Italian shit. So, I'm a problem.
You would be surprised. And our pasta is made in Italy, and you would be amazed at how many Italians are skeptical and then they come back, like, really? So, you'd have to
give
it a try.
I'll try, but it's a tough one, man. Like, it's.
You should try it, man. It's
I like
delicious.
My rusticella. I like my pasta, and it's not gonna happen tomorrow. I'm gonna tell both of you right now. It's not gonna happen tomorrow. But I will give it a shot. But yeah,
well,
it's a tough one.
I always recommend to Italians to try like our linguine first. It's definitely the smoothest, closest to traditional pasta.
Okay. I will give it a shot. I'll have to now. I've said I would, so
yeah,
I'm going
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
It will be with reluctance. I'm just so you both are very clear on that. It's all good, but I have no problem being converted if I can be.
So we've got we always do this, Shelby, just in case you know you're wondering, but we do this and then the audience kind of like sits back and tries to figure out who our guest is for a little bit. Yeah, so for all of you, we've got Shelby Taylor on. You are the owner and founder of Chicopee. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. And if you don't know Chicopee, you should go check it out. It's a wonderful, I'm not even going to say it. You know what? It's a wonderful pasta, but not a pasta. I don't know how to, I'm going to get it wrong. So I'm just going to say, I love it. Our house eats it. And I'm pretty excited to have you on. So welcome.
Awesome. Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So we normally, we would love if you kind of just told us a little bit about you and then about Chicopee and then
a little bit of the story.
And then yeah, we'll just kind of unravel the story and see where it goes.
Sure. Okay. So a little bit about me. I started the company. I started working on the business back in 2015, and I had just had my first child late 2014. And while I was pregnant, I had bought this small health food store, thinking that it was a good way to get into business, and really just, I guess, used it for market research overall. And I knew I wanted to start a product line, but I didn't know what that looked like. I wasn't sure what the demand was for. Mm-hmm. So the shop that I had was a great resource, and I talked to my customers about, you know, what was missing from their diets, what were they looking for. I listened very carefully to their complaints, I guess, and their requests. So my actual background's in journalism, and I'm a very curious person who asks a lot of questions, which worked to my benefit. So I asked lots of questions, and ultimately I ended up interviewing many of my customers, calling them at home and asking them questions. And one of the questions I always asked was, like, what was a food that everyone in their family enjoyed, you know, whether it was healthy or not, but like something that everyone would eat. And pasta just came up again and again. But I really noticed that it was always followed with this, but, you know, but my kids don't eat it with any sauce, so it's not nutritious, and they're hungry an hour later. Or, you know, my husband eats two bowls and feels huge afterwards. Like everything that you could imagine, there just, it didn't come with a whole lot of good feeling, except for it tasted great. Mm-hmm. And everybody enjoyed eating it. So
yeah,
it kind of just got me thinking, you know, why can't the foods that we love be something that actually contributes to our health versus take away from it? And that's when I started to do the research into like a pulse-based pasta or a chickpea-based pasta. You know, having studied nutrition and bought the store just on my own, I knew that the health benefits of, you know, chickpeas and beans overall were great. And that's where the idea came from. It took about 18 months or so in product development to figure out how to make it, and then figure out how in the world to run a business, and raise the capital and produce it, and all of the things that come along with that, because I do not have a background in business.
So I just want to back it up just a little bit, Phil. So you're a journalist by
yes,
trade, for lack of a better way to start, say it.
Yeah.
And you decided to start a family and buy a health food store at the same time. Come up with an idea for a business.
Yes.
After you said your first child. So I'm assuming there might be another child somewhere in this, yes, this mess. So I, this is what you decided to do because you were bored. You had some time on your hands. You know, just nothing to do on a Saturday. Just go and buy a business, have a family, start a brand, you know, something cool.
You pretty much summed up my entire personality. You know, I could work so hard for an entire year and say, I can't wait until Christmas break. And halfway, 3 days in, I'm renovating a bathroom. So, you know, my mind is best busy.
You're in good company.
Yeah, I think as we find it fascinating that there's more than just one or two of us that just cannot sit still. Like, we want this downtime, and then when the downtime comes, we're just not too sure what the hell to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta fill in the gaps.
Right. So then you start filling holes, and I don't know why, but you just do. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. So you had been in the health industry prior? You wrote about the health industry?
No, I sort of just, I guess even from a young age, I was very interested in nutrition. And while I was a journalist, I was a magazine editor for a home magazine. And we had this, like, a food recipe that went into every magazine. It was my favorite. It was my favorite article. I just loved food. And I started to study nutrition on my own on the side through like a Canadian nutrition course. And then I left that job to pursue that full time. And I wasn't sure what that looked like. And it ultimately was me buying this little shop, but knowing that I didn't want to work in this shop forever.
I still find it's obviously still interesting, because it's not normal that people just decide to bounce into retail sort of that way. Typically you work in a store for a little bit and see if you like it, and then maybe decide to buy the store. You just don't necessarily go and buy the store.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a very different way to do it, and there's nothing wrong with it. No judging. Just I just find it always fascinating to see how people can kind of draw a straight line out of no dots, and really there's no line there.
Yeah.
I was 6 months pregnant at the time too when I first took possession. But I have to say, I mean, is anyone ever ready or have any idea what parenthood is
on anything.
If I had known what parenthood would really entail, I'm not sure I would have taken that on. But
that's why they don't tell us ahead of time.
Yeah. That's why they all lie.
You never have kids.
Yeah, they all lie about it.
Exactly. And then you have them.
Two kids is great. Three isn't a big deal. Like, it's all lies.
Sure. All right.
I have a theory that people who willingly choose to have more than two children have something crazy going on.
That's Phil.
That is true. That's true. I have three.
Yeah, we stopped at two.
Yeah.
We were lucky. Boy, girl first, boy second, done. I was postcard like. Good. And I mean, with less me in the picture, it's postcard like when I'm in, that's it, we're done. Baby, call it.
Yeah. I have two boys and they are busy. Busy.
That's interesting.
I have a boy. My oldest is a boy, and my other two are girls. And nice. Oh my gosh, I love it. We're like that too. Like, the third one, she's 13. She'll never listen to this podcast, but she was an accident.
And, a blessing.
Yeah.
Not a planned blessing.
She's definitely a blessing. She's amazing, right? Like, and without a lie, she's really like, the third wasn't really that much more work, to be honest. The first two were quite a shock,
and then the third one just kind
of rode along, so it's fine. But
I don't know, I'm not sold on that either. I think two's enough.
I would seriously consider having a third if I didn't have to carry it or birth it or go through that first year.
Yeah.
Because they're really wonderful after that.
Yeah. Well, no, there are a lot of work right through.
There are a lot of work.
Mine's 25 and 23. Like, yeah, trust me, it doesn't stop. I told don't get that out of your head.
Oh no. They are plenty of work, but at least they have personalities.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, no, it's cool. So anyway, that was a digression because I find it curious. I mean, just because you started, I thought, okay, that's fascinating. You've had nothing really else to do on a Saturday, and it all comes together. I get it, right? That's great.
And so you built, I mean, oh my gosh. So you go through this process, you start to figure out formulations and build Chicopee. What's the first, I don't know that. I think it's linguine, and they have some spaghetti, are our two things that we get. We're just long pasta sort of people. Mm-hmm. Where did you start with this whole thing? Like, did you start with a single product or a handful of products?
We started with our shortcuts. So our spirals, shells, and penne. Okay. And that's all that our manufacturer at the time was able to do, because this was, our pasta takes like very specific equipment. It's not just your traditional pasta equipment. And part of the reason it took 18 months is because I was attempting or trying to find a manufacturer here in Canada that could produce this for us, and it just didn't exist. You know, I met with a number of gluten-free pasta makers whose attitude was very much like, yeah, well, it's gluten-free. This is what the customer expects. That it was just going to be some terrible, mushy, grainy product.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was not the reason why I was starting this. You know, I was wanting to create a product that would taste like pasta and fulfill that need, but be something that people could feel good about. So we tried making it ourselves. We rented this little restaurant commercial kitchen that just happened to have a restaurant sized pasta maker. We ran chickpea flour through that, enough to say it was possible, but certainly not sellable, that condition. So,
okay.
Ultimately we found a manufacturer in the US who was able to produce pasta, like a high protein pulse-based pasta, in shortcuts. And that's where we started. And then at the end of 2018, we moved our manufacturing to Italy, to very sophisticated partner with sophisticated equipment who could produce both long and short cuts of pasta.
Right.
And why chickpea?
Pardon?
Yeah.
Why chickpea?
Chickpea, well, it's made out of chickpeas and lentils, and both chickpeas and lentils are incredibly nutritious. They're really the perfect food. They're high in protein, yeah. fiber, iron, magnesium, all kinds of nutrients. You know, fiber is one of the most overlooked nutrients and most important nutrients in one's diet. And then you have that high protein amount as well. So you don't even need to pair it with an animal protein. It's really, pulses are really like a great meal within themselves.
Right. Good for you.
Wow. It's, oh my gosh. So I love these stories because I'm just, it's always so surprising, right? So that's end of 2018, you start making all these pastas. And so how did the, so to connect the dots, like, so how did the retail end go? Was there a market for this?
So I'll back up a little bit. So we yeah. launched into the Canadian market in July of 2016. And that's with our US product. And because I had the health food store, I knew a couple of distributors, and there was one in particular called Neil Brothers. And are you American or Canadian? Nope.
We're Canadian.
I'm in Vancouver.
Oh, you're Canadian. Toronto. Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. Phil's with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't quite sure because I didn't have time to do any due
diligence. Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
Okay, so the Neil Brothers out of Toronto, they were my favorite distributor as a retailer because they were just fantastic at, like, they called me every week to see if I needed anything when the truck came through. They had great customer service and they carried the coolest brands with a focus on organic and B Corp and all of those things that I really cared about.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris, Neil, one of the brothers, when I started to have this idea, I almost like taunted him because I called him and asked him for advice. And I just told him straight up, you're going to carry my product one day, Chris. And he was kind of like, yeah, yeah, Shelby, I'll give you some of my time, but you know, you didn't think too much of it. And now they always like, they tell that story at conferences and stuff because I was so adamant that they carry my product and they're still our most successful distributor in Canada to date. So that's wow. how we got started. I think having that retail background was helpful for me, and it helped me to understand the what the retailer was looking for as well. And then we just reached out to every possible retailer. It was something that was incredibly new to the Canadian market at the time.
You were using distributors, so you were using Neil Brothers and someone else to actually help you with the calls. And the distribution, and you learn pretty quickly that an idea does not a product make.
Yes.
Right. It's great. There's a lot of wonderful ideas and a lot of holes that yes, could be filled by ideas, but quite frankly, they don't mean shit until they're actually bought and sold.
And moving off the shelf. Yeah. And
I know nobody gets that part, right? Well, it's a great idea. That you're right. It's a really good idea.
Yes.
Doesn't make a business. Doesn't make a product.
No, it does not. It does not. So, I spent a lot of time building up the, you know, if you step back even further, I seriously have no business background. I do not come from an entrepreneurial family. So it was a massive learning curve for me. And because we have to manufacture at large scale, because we can't do it small, you know, it's quite a lot of investment.
Well, it's capital too, right? You own the stuff, right?
Yes. And I mean, like I said, I was newly married, pregnant in the small health food store. I did definitely no capital to invest in a business. And the local college here, Georgian College in Barrie, was holding this little pitch event, and it was for advice. It was the first one they'd ever run, and it wasn't for money or anything. And that's all I really wanted was people to listen to my idea at that point and tell me, you know, what to do. I went to this pitch event, and so my mom found it online actually the day before and said, you should do this. And my husband kicks himself because he was like, you can't do that. Like, it's just an idea, you know, it's just an idea at this point. So
worse than
the and I was like, too. Well, I have nothing to lose. Yeah. So I made a presentation that night, went, I won best pitch somehow. And on that panel, there was the founder of the local angel network, who just took a liking.
Wow.
He took a liking to me and became a great mentor. And ultimately he introduced me to a number of angel investors toured the Ontario Angel Network with me, and we raised capital before I could even show anyone PASTA. It was just an idea, but that's how financially we got started. That's amazing. Just really fortunate to have these people who believe in the idea.
That's a huge deal. I mean, as you probably learned quickly, like when you start having to order, you know, 10,000 boxes of each SKU from Italy, and you got three containers landing in, you know, Montreal, being delivered to Toronto, and you're thinking, okay, now what? Yeah. What do you want to do with this? And because it's a lot of cash.
It's a lot of cash.
A lot of cash, and half has to be paid typically before it hits the port there, and the other half when it hits the port here. And now what do you do? And money, I don't, unless you guys have different trees in Ontario. BC trees ain't growing money these days.
I don't know.
Maybe you guys do. I know we don't.
You have more trees than we do. So.
Yeah. No money
trees. We don't have any of those trees. At least where I know.
Yeah, no money trees.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. So you learned even that angle of it, which again is, you're very different in terms of most first-time entrepreneurs that really don't know they're entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
because most just struggle a shitload more than that. Like the money is like near impossible.
Yeah, I was so fortunate to have met that contact and for him to, you know, take a serious interest in the business. But I do think I recognized early on that, like, I'm not a pasta maker. I'm not somebody who wants to make pasta and then sell it. I love the business side. I love the idea of bringing right. this idea to many people. And you're right. And I have heard that a few times, especially from investors, that our company is set up a little bit more like a tech company than a traditional food company in the way that we've scaled it.
Wow. And now you're everywhere.
Well, that's what I was reading, Phil, before we got on, is that you've got decent distribution. Thinking your little bio there, so you got 3,000 stores in the States and you're across our country.
Yeah.
Yep.
And your product line is only a couple years old. It's not, you've really only been in market, it's what, quite 2.5 remarkable. Years? 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been, I guess it would be four and a half years in Canada now, and about 3.5 in the US.
Still, it's not long, right?
Wow.
No.
It's not long at all. And for you, so from the get-go, did you, because you said it, but so did you do any direct sales yourself to retail, or did you from the beginning use distributors pretty much the full tilt?
I used distributors right from the beginning because that was the model that I was familiar with. Mm-hmm. But I did sell, I still landed some of the accounts for those distributors. But even today, we don't do a ton of direct business with retailers other than some big guys, like, you know, we're with Costco here and we work with them directly and
right. as
well.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's it, but they're also easy to deal with. They can take a can from Italy. They don't need
exactly.
They really want to do it. They don't need you to. They're not taking two boxes at a time like you did in the store.
Yeah.
They take two containers at a time.
Yes, they're wonderful like that.
Yeah, very, very much, much, much different business. That's fat. That's great though. So, in terms of even what you did with Costco versus retail, do you have different sizes in Costco versus what you'd have in?
Yeah, we have a 1 kilogram box at Costco of our spirals, which is our number one SKU, and then we sell in 8 ounce boxes in retail.
In regular retail, and what brought that idea on?
The Costco idea?
How did you figure out not to sell the same thing in both places?
I guess just from being a Costco customer and knowing that we had to add value and focus on a single SKU. So, and again,
most don't get that. That's why I asked.
Questioned. I just email Costco and say, what can I do? What should this look like?
I think if we're going to get something, you know what? Forget it.
Honestly,
we're stop talking to Shelly. Like, what we're going to do is we're going to come up there and we're going to her to run with it.
We love you.
Oh,
you
totally. No, we're on board. On board. The girl gets people to talk to her. She gets money before she has a problem. Like, you've done everything half-assed compared to what everybody does, and yet it's the only way to do it. You did it proper. Nobody else that I know in CPG does it this way.
So I got to tell you, like, so Shelby, like, we've just met, but
we've
like,
been
I've
CPG
worked,
a long time,
I've worked
just so
at,
you know,
like,
a long time.
J&J and Pfizer and Unilever. And like, I got to tell you, like, some of these guys, they know, but Costco is like a constant, like, this is why the two of us are like, we're just shaking our heads, right? Because that, you know, getting into Costco is a very unique proposition. You got to make sure that you don't cannibalize your own business, right? And what you did was,
it's remarkable for a first attempt.
Like, just
seriously,
really astute. Thank like you. Really, really astute. Like, lots of businesses that have been around for a very, very long time fall into that hole that we literally do this. Like, when they show up, we're like, oh God, why'd you do that? Right? Like, now the whole thing's gone for crap, right? Like, so it's, you know.
So why we're asking this sort of the simple questions, because I think people need to listen, is you got to understand that what you did with Costco is the way to do it. You don't go with seven SKUs. You go with one. You don't go with the same size, because your health food store down the street is going to say, Shelby, you're a real, you know what, for doing that, because now I have to compete with them. I can't compete with them. They sell a 1 kg I sell, you know, 100 grams at.
Yeah. Like, but it's really clever too, right? Because you got yourself into Costco, which allows people to find you. They know the Costco reputation. That's how we found you, right? So my family of five, I was looking for that. We were consuming a ton of pasta. I have my youngest, I think all the kind of like 13 to 15 year olds are going through this, is she's having, you know, almost an ecological crisis in her own life, because she's looking at how animals are being consumed, and she wants to be able to do some vegetarian. So we're vegetarian Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I had to go and re-educate myself on, gosh, like, we're a capital C carnivore family. What do I feed her if she doesn't want to eat that? And yours was one of those things that came up, and then Costco had it. So it was an easy equation for me, right? Was, I can feed her this pasta. Like, I can literally go, you know, buttered pasta, and she's got the protein content that she needs.
Fat that she needs from the butter. It's all good in the hood. No animal.
Yeah, you know, it's fantastic.
So. And if it's now in Costco, what does it tell you?
Now you're eating mostly shapes that are not in Costco.
Yes.
So you're right. Yeah. It is. Costco has been great at helping us to build our brand recognition.
Yeah.
And
but you've done it smart, Shelby, and you can't. Don't underestimate or discount it. You've done it smart, because Costco is emphatically not the retailer you use to launch a brand.
No,
it is a brand killer.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah.
For the unless you go in the way you did, you're smart about it. What Costco typically does to most consumers, if it's in Costco, what does it tell you as a consumer? It's probably really good, because first off, Costco doesn't buy a lot of shit.
Yeah,
they buy a lot of
one,
product.
Number two, in every
category. Keep it super simple. Yeah. So if they carry, you're thinking, oh, well, if they carry it, I mean, it's obviously got to be worth buying. Otherwise, they wouldn't carry it, because Costco just doesn't do that.
You know, the other thing that's really amazing is my wife, who also doesn't listen to the podcast, so I can say this here as well. She doesn't want to cut carbs, but she's the same age as me, so she has to cut carbs. And so I omit the fact that she's not really eating carbs anymore, and she doesn't, you know, like, she can still get her pasta fixed, but not really, you know, get any carbs out of it. So it's kind of amazing. So thank you.
And getting
thank you.
You're very welcome. You know, I don't know if you've tried this. My very favorite of our recipes is with our linguine, and we have this pad thai recipe on our site. It is unbelievably good. My husband asked me to make it every week. Just something to try.
You have a fried Brussels sprouts linguine as well. Yummy. Sorry, I might be weird like that, but I like Brussels sprouts. On there. That's amazing. Pad thai.
So I'm going to, what SKU does Costco carry? Cause I have to do a Costco run this weekend.
They carry our spirals, like our spirals.
I can still do a nice ragu with that.
There's lots of places right around you. I looked up the drive coffee bar.
Since March 12th. Like, I don't leave the house, right?
There's so many places around you.
If you
stick your address in here, I'll buy it for you online right now. Because Shelby also sells online. Can I ask you, so the online side of your business, is that something that you've always had, or did you kind of add that pandemic kind of era, or?
No, we've had it for a while. I mean, we do exceptionally well on Amazon in both Canada and the US. But we've really grown our own sales, our Shopify sales online, because, well, the pandemic has certainly helped with that. It was a great opportunity for us to drive more trial of our product, especially when so many were running out of stock.
Mm.
In a way, we were kind of lucky to be producing in Italy. It's, I never thought I would be saying this, especially back then, but because COVID hit Italy so hard and earlier than here, we were watching it more closely and we had to really invest in stocking up on inventory beforehand. So when a lot of people here or brands were running out of stock, and pasta was one of those categories, lucky for us, that was just selling like crazy.
Yeah.
We had tons of stock. So we were able to drive a ton of trial and get a lot of people to our website who were just, you know, looking for pasta in stock. And then we've had, you know, we've really raised our baseline of customers from there too. So now our online sales are significant. They used to be about 3% of our revenue, and now they're closer to 14%.
That's fantastic. Wow, that's nice margins too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All yours. Well, except for a little bit, you got to give Shopify, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You got to pay somebody, right?
Yes. No, it's fantastic business. And my favorite part of it is we get to know our customers more. So that's really the part of selling through retail, which you guys would know, is that, you know, it's hard to really get to know who they are. And with our online sales, we can engage with them a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, they're a good resource for, you know, line extending or, you know, hey, why don't you try this? We love this, you know, recipes. I mean, there's tons of things. Especially when they get to like you.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's amazing what they'll talk about. So how many SKUs are you at now? Like, what do you have?
We are at, oh my goodness. In the US, we're at 11 and
7 in Canada, something like that.
Canada, we have 7 with 2 more launching like next week.
Good for you.
2 more.
So I asked when this was going to air because I was afraid of what I might say.
Careful what you say.
You may or may not say. Yeah. But it airs next Monday. So maybe just, you know.
Just keep that in the back of your head. Or Phil will have to edit it out.
Two very exciting new shapes of pasta that we've been asked for a very long time.
Okay.
Now, are you selling, you're doing most of your business, obviously, to retail and consumer. Are you doing anything in food service?
We do a little
bit. Not that Ontario's got much food service right now because you guys are finally closed down, but that's,
you know,
that's another story.
We were doing a small amount in food service and serving some universities and some school programs. But like you said, that's really sort of dropped off at the moment. Mm. We're looking at some more sort of to-go options, those grab-and-go options, which are really big right now on campuses and such, you know, with things like our vegan Mac and just easier ways for people to consume the pasta on the go. So we are sort of working on that as an option right now.
Good for you.
Wow. This is amazing. What a great story.
Thank you. Considering it, I mean, really, you're coming sort of out of left field.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not like you went to business school and you had all these, you know, I've tried 17 different lemonade stands when I was 6 and, you know, or at least we didn't hear those stories.
No, really. Yeah.
It's not normal. I mean, the beautiful thing, what it does show you too, what's nice about the journalism side is you know how to write. So you know how to articulate, you know how to express yourself, you know how to get that story across. And people don't get that is sometimes more important than a lot of the other stuff, right?
It's and the
really,
other thing,
really true.
Sorry, I think the other thing is just your attention to the consumer, right? Like, I think in the industry we get pretty stuck on what we think we know about the consumer, and you, like, every step of the way, you're asking questions, right? Like, you're just asking, like, guys, what
most
you
don't
want?
Most get
what
the
are,
idea.
What are you worried about, right? Like,
business,
that is,
Phil.
Yeah, right. It's really big.
Like, really not big. Understanding that the idea is great, but the business doesn't make a business. It's just it's an idea. It's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least you qualified it.
It's interesting too, because, you know, like, I'm a different consumer now than I was when I started the business, having gone from, you know, just before having children and just having a baby that, you know, you're not necessarily feeding solid foods, where I would say I was a total food snob, if you will. You know, we'd never eat anything non-organic. And I mean, and I care a great deal about organic. Our products are organic, and I care a great deal about the environmental impact, all of those things. But I also understand much better now, you know, trying to feed 2 children who, of course, will never like or enjoy the same thing.
Right.
That's just absolutely impossible. And, you know, just understanding that struggle a little bit more. And sometimes you just need to have what's easy and what's simple, and not everything can be a fight and not everything can be perfect. So I think I've evolved as a consumer and that's helped me to understand how other people consume as well. And really, like, the whole goal, I just try to come back to that goal from the beginning of just taking something that people love and making it healthier, making them feel good about it. And that means it has to be simple and convenient and nutritious, not something you have to put a whole lot of thought into.
Mm-hmm. Again, though, to take it from idea and run it through is still the remarkable part. And it's the cool part.
Fantastic.
Right. I think that's a very cool story.
Shelby, if people want to find you, what's the best place to find you?
I would go on chickapea.com. And okay. you can buy our product online there. In Canada, we are in most retailers and health food stores, and including, you know, Costco, Loblaws, Sobeys, and then all of your incredible health food stores too, Whole Foods and whatnot. Okay. And I don't, in the US, we're all across the country in a number of health food stores and regional grocery stores and supermarkets.
It's amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. We're so glad you came on. This has been
It's very cool. It's a great fantastic. Story.
Very inspiring.
It's a great story. Like, seriously, it's really inspiring. Really, really cool. Good for you.
Thank you. Like, thank you for having me. This has been really nice.
Yeah. So you told you it wasn't that hard, right?
It's yeah.
That it's, you know, could have had yourself a cup of coffee. It's you know,
much
it's all good.
More casual than
yeah
than I was expecting, which is always nice.
Yeah. And the episode airs Monday night, and then I usually post it, you know, social channels, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram on Tuesday mornings usually. So, so we'll be out then. And then,
I think it'll be a cool story though. I think people will get inspired by it. Right. Yeah. And it'll show them to, you did it really cool. You did it well. Like, you really did. I mean, most just don't. Yeah, they just don't quite get it. You did good.
Thank you. Well, you know, hopefully these types of stories will inspire other people to.
That's all you hope for, right?
That's what we hope for.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Shelby.
Thank you very much.
All right.
We'll have Phil, stay on.
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks, Shelby.
Take care.
Bye. Very cool, my friend. Very cool.
Cool, right?
Very cool. Very cool. Very, very smart young woman. You know, I'd almost say no brains in her head. I don't know why you get pregnant by a store, you know, do all that shit, but, you know, God bless her for doing that.
Oh my God. It's like this crazy thing that turned into a thing.
Seriously.
It wasn't, and she didn't crash into it. Like, she was methodical. She
thought about it. It's even worse. Like, you started to think, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Good for her. I mean, wow. And, you know, but even just to you know, I mean, outside of tech, I know maybe two companies in CPG of the startups that had money prior to doing anything. Just freaking struggling all the way through.
And
then they get bogged down in what they think it should be, as opposed to do what she did. Which was what do you want? You're the consumer. You're a master.
Yeah.
What you like? And enough people said what they liked and what they wanted. Then she start looking for the opportunity. She thinks, okay, well, this is a way to make it healthier. And chickpea flour has been around for, you know, a million years.
Yeah.
But it's just to take the concepts and good for her.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, good for her. Well, that's fast. That's awesome.
I grabbed the pad thai recipe, so I think I'm going to try and make this. It's on there too.
See, now I'm going to be bad. We got leftover pasta from here. I got to have some pasta, but it's not going to be no chickpea on this one. Not yet.
I was really thrilled. Like, I honestly, you know, because my daughter does want to eat veggie, and there are lots of days where I'm just like, holy shit, I got to learn to make more beans because I got to figure out how to get her the right protein balance while
beans
she's
and
doing
pasta
the veggie
are
thing.
Awesome. So you know what? You got a chickpea. You can still add beans to it. I'll give you a nice, a nice simple, like pasta fagioli, right? Like pasta with beans.
Simple
recipe.
Yeah, no, I do that all the time, but at some point, you know, like the texture feels the same, but this one, like, it's in the pasta, right? So you don't even need to, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, you can just add it because why not?
Yeah.
You don't have to add it because you're trying to find a,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
a protein. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, honestly, like chickpeas, at least the balance is a little bit better protein to carb.
Yeah.
Most of the other beans, I know people think that a protein, a bean is not a protein, a bean is a carbohydrate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've got a lot of carbs in it, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fiber too.
Yeah.
Which is good, but yeah, definitely a chickpea is a really nice.
Yeah.
Is a nice, it's, nice.
It's not the same. Like we've tried some of the other ones. Like there's a, I think it's called Go Go Vegan, which is like a rice and a quinoa mix. And not they're the same, they're man. Yummy, not, but they're not the same.
But it's
right?
not a pasta. So, it's not the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
it's not the same. Yeah. It's like when all the first gluten frees were all corn based or rice based.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry guys, you can try all day. It's not the same.
It's not the same. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, it's very cool.
That's really cool. I that's a great story. I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like I mean, good for her. What the hell?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, thanks for like putting up with my crap today.
Oh, poor Kenny. Shit. It doesn't matter. No, poor Kenny, my ass. Like, I just need to know a time. Fuck, you're 20 different times than me. I'm thinking, buddy,
I know.
Box it. What do you want?
No, because if anybody is still listening to us, or this is just for me and Kenny, but today we had a guest who's going to be tomorrow, but then she has to move till next week. And then Shanane is like an angel. Shanane showed up and went, you got a slot, I'll fill it. I'll find somebody, right? And I was like, awesome. And then it was like, this time, no, that time, no, this time, no, that time. And like, we literally got, you know, we got chickpea lined up.
11:30, like, you told me to be on at noon.
Like 30 minutes before we started recording.
What the hell, right? So, I think it's, I really enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't know what we were up against. And I, you know, this is the first time we've actually, well, prep, I mean, our version of prep. I did look at a Brile before we started talking to her.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, 3,000 stores, this is pretty impressive. We need to leverage our friends better, like Shanane, though.
Bunny from 2018.
Yeah, her days, she's not, I know that she's not 4.5 and 3.5. Like, she just, I know what she's saying. She's not that. That product's, in essence, a couple years, right?
Yeah,
the first time in the store doesn't count.
No,
it's like when you get to that point where it starts to really move. Like,
what
it showed you though, again, she found a niche. There's a hole. There's a hole in the market. That's what she found.
You know what I'm like, and that's the thing is, you think like the people that we've talked to on this show who fill those niches, they're making that entire segment just so much better between like Nature's Fair and now chickpea and. You know,
well, but Rafar dad's story with his mom finding a spot in hair removal. I mean, it doesn't matter what the category is.
It doesn't matter.
But it's cool amazing. Things where they, you know, they find these spots. I mean, good for. I mean,
it's really great.
Cool.
It's really great.
Right. Really great. I love that too. I love the mom thing and the like. Shit, just knock it out of the park.
Yeah. I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
That's awesome, buddy.
Yay. Awesome.
You know, we need to leverage our friends a little bit more, like the Fart as extent. They all have friends that would be really cool to interview. I really like this one. I thought she was really interesting. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
And I think the listener base, if you have so next week's guest is someone that our friend Mark Sterling wanted to see. And he asked and we made it happen.
Oh, he's just trying to text me now.
Yeah.
I'm not understanding. I'm on with Phil. I have to tell him that.
Yeah. So if you have requests of brands that you want to talk to, hit us up and we'll find them for you. Literally, Mr. Sterling, if you're hearing this,
he'll hear it on Monday night or Tuesday.
Yeah. I turned it around in, half an hour. I found them.
And they got a great time slot too. The next week, if I'm not a
premium time slots,
right?
Yeah.
Anywho, that's all good in the hood.
Awesome.
Okay, buddy, I got a 1 o'clock I got to get my shit together for. So
that was awesome, man. I'm going to stop this for a second.
Shoot.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more Commerce News.